Multimodal Video Search by Examples, a Video Quality Impact Analysis by Wu et al., published in IET Computer Vision. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. Let's say you're a software engineer at a major video streaming company. This could be a Netflix, Max, YouTube, or even a Twitch or Kick. Either way, your company's core competency is video. Ingesting it, processing it, encoding it, and decoding it, hosting it, and streaming it out to customers. And you're good at it. But a new feature request just came down from on high, and it's, well, as we like to say, non-trivial. What feature? Search. Not just any search. You have standard search already. You store a bunch of metadata and tags about each piece of content. So when a user enters something in the search bar, you query your database or your Elasticsearch, look for matches, sort with some kind of relevance approximator, and return the results. But this feature request is different. The product team says that simple metadata search is old, and they want something new. New is letting users search for words that the characters are speaking within a video. New is letting users upload a video clip that they might have pulled off of social media and returning to them the full video where the clip came from. New is allowing users to describe a scene they once saw in a movie and returning that scene and movie to them. New is allowing users to upload a photo of an actor or an audio clip of that actor speaking and returning every piece of content and scene where the actor has appeared, even if that actor was just an extra in the background. New is doing the same, but for inanimate objects, allowing users to describe or upload a photo of a landmark, product, building, or city, and then returning to them all the scenes and all the content where that thing or place appeared. In other words, this feature request is for multimodal video search, the ability to search within video content for anything appearing or happening in that content, using whatever query medium the user prefers. This means searching with text, with audio, with photos, with video clips, figuring out relevance and returning streaming video. That's the feature. Quick little feature request, right? Something you can bang out in an afternoon, right? Right? Let's say you actually received this request. You pulled it right off the top of the backlog in a sprint planning meeting. And now the PM is staring at you like, how many story points is that? Your first instinct is going to be to throw your laptop at them and walk right out the door. I get that. But don't do that. Might I suggest that instead, you dive into this paper with me right now. This paper is an early prototype, let's call it a sketch, of what this kind of multimodal search could look like and how you could build it. The authors focus on a few questions. How do you pre-process your video content to extract the information you're going to need from each video? What do you end up storing and indexing? How do you ingest the user's queries and normalize them into a format that can be run against the data and indexes you're storing? And how does that query work? To borrow some phrasing from Hadoop, how do you take that query and get a map of intermediate results and then reduce and sort them to the final output? Spoiler alert, not with Hadoop. I wouldn't characterize this article as a system design paper, no. I think this is the step before that. This paper is more of a meditation on the architecture, the kind of high-level thought experiments you conduct with your team in front of the biggest whiteboard you can find. That's the space we're occupying here. High-level data structures, high-level algorithms, and high-level estimates of time and space complexity. The goal is to flush this out just enough that you can come back to the product team and say, here's how long it's going to take, here's how much it's going to cost, and here's how many engineers I'm going to need. All right, enough preamble. Let's get into it. In my opinion, there are two primary contributions of this paper: how to process or store the data, and how to retrieve it. We'll go over both. How to process and store the data. A multimodal video retrieval system lives or dies by its data pre-processing pipeline. The goal is to break down raw video and audio into smaller, structured pieces that support fast, relevant retrieval. Processing video for retrieval starts with scene recognition, a step that divides videos into coherent parts based on visual and contextual cues. The system analyzes each video frame by frame, identifying changes in lighting, background, and prominent objects to pinpoint scene boundaries. A scene might represent a continuous setting, such as a cityscape, a particular room, or a distinct landscape, and it helps the system segment content into searchable units. Using models pre-trained on large datasets, such as Multimodal Transformer with embedded experts in scene recognition, the system captures both the structural and semantic details of a scene. In more complex environments, it might use models with specialized techniques like object detection, which detects recurring or unique items in a scene to help in its identification, even in low-quality footage. Each scene is embedded as a unique vector, a lower dimensional format that condenses information about dominant objects, color palettes, and spatial structure. These scene embeddings are stored in a separate hash table with timestamps marking scene boundaries. This enables efficient retrieval. If a user wants to locate scenes in a forest or in an urban area, these embeddings allow the system to quickly retrieve segments matching these visual and environmental traits. The system organizes scene embeddings into clusters by scene type and metadata such as lighting conditions, dominant colors, or specific objects in the frame. This clustering enables broad scene-based searches based on general characteristics, even when users lack specific visual details. Similarly, face detection, another core visual processing task, involves scanning each frame to locate faces and grouping similar faces into clusters based on their unique facial features. These features are compressed into low-dimensional embeddings, numeric fingerprints encapsulating each face's unique characteristics. To make these representations more consistent, the system aligns each face with a canonical form to reduce differences in rotation and scale. These embeddings stored along with the timestamps allow the system to identify distinct individuals across the entire video library. For instance, a user querying a clip with a certain actor can instantly locate other scenes with a matching face embedding. Audio requires a similar segmented approach. First, the system runs audio through a speaker diarization process, splitting it by speaker. A pre-trained model such as eCAPA TDNN, trained on diverse datasets, popular examples are like VoxCeleb 1, VoxCeleb 2, generates unique embeddings for each speaker's voice. Each speaker's unique vocal patterns are stored with precise time codes, enabling the system to match a user-provided voice clip with similar voice segments throughout the database. In parallel, the system leverages ASR, automatic speech recognition, to transcribe spoken content into text. This transcription enables text-based queries, allowing users to search for specific phrases or topics which may not be possible through metadata alone. ASR, face detection, and speaker recognition, and scene recognition each add unique searchable dimensions to the video content, supporting more versatile and precise search results. Once each of these modalities is processed, the data is stored in modality-specific hash tables, so one for faces, one for voices, one for scenes, and so on. The hashing process condenses complex embeddings into shorter binary codes. Although this encoding sacrifices some information, it greatly accelerates retrieval, especially with large datasets. These hash codes enable approximate matches, allowing high-dimensional embeddings to be represented in a fixed-size format. And this facilitates quick searches across expansive content libraries. So it really works better at scale. Now, just a note about different video resolutions. Storing video data at different resolutions further enhances efficiency and flexibility. That's because high-res versions retain fine details that boost search accuracy, but require substantial storage space, while low-resolution versions provide faster access at the cost of precision. So the paper suggests a hybrid approach. High-res data supports final, detail-oriented matching, while low-res data expedites broad, preliminary searches. So with that kind of setup, the system can rapidly respond to initial queries and then refine the results when a more detailed match is necessary. And this balances speed and accuracy for optimal retrieval. And now we're basically already into the retrieval section. How to retrieve this stuff? Once the video content is processed and stored, the paper shifts focus to the retrieval process, starting with the handling of user queries. Every query, regardless of type, goes through two phases. In the first phase, the query gets hashed to locate candidate matches in the database. For example, if a user submits an image of an actor, the system hashes it to locate matching face embeddings stored in the hash table. This hashing step generates a set of candidate results without requiring a direct comparison with each video. So that keeps the process fast. When the query pertains to scenes, such as when a user requests scenes set in an outdoor area or a specific location like a beach, the system hashes the user's scene embedding. The embedding search then retrieves clusters of scene matches that share similar characteristics with the query embedding, even if the settings aren't identical. For instance, an image of a forest can yield matches across various nature settings like woodlands or jungles, thanks to the clustering and hashing approach used in the scene data indexing. This retrieval mechanism efficiently identifies candidate scene segments for detailed ranking in the next phase. The second phase of retrieval, ranking, applies finer-grained similarity metrics to the candidates identified in the hashing phase. Here, metrics like cosine similarity and Hamming distance come into play. Cosine similarity measures the angle between two vectors in an embedding space, effectively gauging how closely the query matches each candidate. For scene embeddings, a smaller angle suggests a closer match in visual and contextual attributes, making cosine similarity highly effective for determining which scenes closely match the query. Hamming distance provides another level of granularity by directly comparing the binary hash codes, counting differences to highlight closely related scenes, which is especially useful for distinguishing subtle scene variations within similar environments. Ranking and merging results across modalities requires careful consideration to ensure the final result is both relevant and diverse. This paper explores various ranking fusion techniques, including reciprocal rank fusion, RRF, and board accounting. RRF combines ranks by rewarding content that appears in multiple lists, placing less weight on lower ranked items in each list. For instance, if the same video ranks in both the face and the audio lists, it would be prioritized in the final output, increasing the chance of returning relevant results when the users query across multiple modalities. Modified RRF offers a slight twist, adjusting weights to give higher emphasis to results that rank well across modalities without duplicating weight for repeated appearances. Board accounting, another method, scores results based on their relative positions across lists, ensuring that results with consistently high rankings across modalities are returned at the top. In cases where retrieval requires refined accuracy, such as pinpointing specific video segments in varied scenes, an adapted RRF or ISR, inverse square rank method, may be applied. These approaches discount scores exponentially for lower ranks, ensuring that high confidence matches dominate the final result set. Board account weighted algorithms introduce an additional layer of rank weighting, particularly beneficial for searches involving scene data where finding visually and contextually consistent settings can make a significant difference in result accuracy, that is. Although the paper doesn't cover live system testing, it doesn't actually build and launch and test this, it does discuss the prototype's limitations and the need for further evaluations. The authors emphasize the importance of testing retrieval performance across varying content qualities, from high-definition digital media to low-resolution archival footage. In any real-world application, the system will need to perform reliably on diverse video quality levels, as archives contain content spanning decades with significant variation in technical quality. Testing on both high-res and degraded versions will help engineers calibrate the hashing, the indexing, and the retrieval algorithms to work optimally across the quality spectrums. While this paper provides the architectural groundwork, it should go without saying that building a production-ready version is going to require a lot of tuning and refinement, as well as adjustments based on user feedback. From improving storage efficiency to enhancing retrieval precision, the transition from concept here to deployment is going to be an iterative process. But this should have at least given you a start, the ability to wrap your head conceptually around what needs to be built, tested, and launched here. Now, you can go back to the PM, or the CEO, or whoever your boss is, and tell them, yes, my team can do this. But we're gonna need a lot more money. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Digg signing off. See you tomorrow.